Now abideth faith, hope, charity. That's all that's left. Now abideth. I'm sitting over there listening, and that fear of God, that terror of the Lord again. What kind of terror? You, yeah, your face is showing me I'm frightened. You just don't know what God's trying to say to you, do you? That iniquity. You always try to find you in there. You're not in there. You are hid. You're not there. Well, you say amen, amen, but then you go out and say, well, what's my position? See? That's iniquity. You're showing it. What's in it for me? God got something for me. That's your iniquity. He's not going to have it. There ain't going to be no you in the kingdom. None of you. In all things, he is going to have preeminence. First thought, first word, first love, first deed, no room for you. That's your problem, Search. That's your problem. Then you compare yourselves with each other in order to try to make you look good. It's not wise. Everything I say is true. There's nothing y'all got to grasp. I do right all the time in everything. Well, I saw you do things I didn't think was right. I'm sitting over there, and the Lord's doing the same thing he always does. He talks to me. He says, sometimes he folk might wonder why you get up and talk about all the sins you committed. Well, didn't Jesus have all your sins? Couldn't he talk about all your sins? He was guilty for your sins. He was guilty. And he was not guilty for any of his sins. He was guilty for yours. So what did he know about sins? They missed it again, Brother Chip. Still don't understand. You think there's a sin you committed that Jesus did not feel the guilt of it? The law made all men guilty. And God laid on him one thing, the iniquity. And you see, it's even your iniquity that won't allow you to receive what I'm saying. Now I'm different. Not me. I'm better. God got a little nick for me somewhere. That's what you do, church. Your faces are showing it again. Somehow you just can't grasp what he's trying to do. Just the last time, too. He ain't got much time. You remember how he started this little lesson? You mean you sat here all this time, you forgot it? I wasn't even here. And I got it. And I was sitting over there doing several things in the radio, and I still heard how he started this lesson. You mean this whole house can't tell me one of the first scriptures he brought out when he started this lesson? My God, would you tell him, please, sir? Whom the Lord loved. See, he told you what I was going to do to it, didn't he? What did he say I was going to do? And what was I going to check? You're slow, you stubborn heart. I'm checking your spirit. And right away, your spirit's not right. You mean to tell you, it's right for you to remember that. It's right to remember these things. And you forgot within an hour. I was sitting over there. And the Lord just, look at these people, look at me, God. This is a stubborn, I'll tell you. But he's going to do it. You know, that's the thing that scares me. I can tell you many times this week, in frustration and dealing with the people of God on these grounds, I start walking down a path and say, God, whatever you got to do, stop it. Then I watch him do it. I watch that thing hit us. It shouldn't have to be. if you will receive the chastisement, you won't have to be beat like that. And sometimes it provoke. Come on, Josh, where you at, boy? Get your butt up here. Quick, move faster than that. Come on, quote it to us.
Remember.
Remember.
Forget not.
And forget not.
How thou. Provoke.
Provoke. You got it? Do you got it? Do you people got it? You didn't say you just angered them. You provoked him to anger. You just kept provoking until you just compelled his anger to come against you. Yeah. Stubborn house. Look at him. Oh, you wonder what God could do to this house? Get those damn looks off your faces. They provoke me. Stop. I hate your look, brother. You got a sad look, and I hate that pity look on your face. Ever since I saw you last night, stop it. Why is your countenance fallen? Well, what are those bad things you said about us? That's true. Rejoice in the truth. You expect me to get happy when you say those bad things about me? You expect me to take that lightly? Yeah, that's to get your face off of you and on him. That's to get your thought off of you and on him. Why would you want to think about such a wretched soul like that all the time? You're miserable. No wonder you're miserable. Because your hope is in this. You just don't want to buy the scriptures. If you in this life have hope, only, and that's where most you have it, in what you are, what you feel. That is so worthless. Quote it, son.
Remember. And forget not. How thou.
You.
Provoked. The Lord thy God.
The Lord thy God. Harden not your heart as they did in the day of... That's why you provoke God. You get a hard heart. And that heart then becomes him. And how many times God zeroes right in and shows us, and instead of doing like the little woman, truth! Lord! Like I tried so hard this morning to get it across to you dogs! You vicious dogs! You bone-eating dogs! You vomit-spewing dogs! You call me a dog, truth! I need a crumb! My God, just a crumb! Dogs! You shouldn't talk to God's people like that. See that iniquity again? You call me a dog. You call us peanut brains. Well, that's a pretty good compliment. At least you got a brain. At least I'm saying you got a brain. If you just use a peanut brain. Shouldn't beat your heart, fill that with Christ. Should beat your heart, fill a peanut brain with Christ. If you had to recognize you got a small enough brain, you wouldn't get all the other stuff out. No, you want the big brain, don't you? The big head. That's what you want, the big head. Yeah, that's what you want. The big head. You don't want the head, you want the big head. Well, you ain't doing right again, brother. What? What, when Christ comes back, what's he coming back looking for? Faith. And what am I doing? Rebuking you sharply again. Sharply. He's getting ready to come. And here I'm rebuking sharply, so you'll be sound in the faith, and you will resist this truth. What, you thought I was going to come in and be passive after that tirade I had this morning? I was driven into that room by being provoked. Remember, and forget not. Come on, son.
Hello.
Stay with me here, boy. You ain't that slow.
Thou provokes.
You can't talk louder than that?
The Lord thy God to wrath.
To wrath.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. That's where you are, you know. We're in the wilderness now. We've come out of Egypt. We're on our way to the promised land. And we're in the wilderness now. We've already crossed the Red Sea. We already know about that. And you're brought to this place. He wasn't talking about being in the kingdom there yet. But by in the wilderness. That's where you are, Peter praying. Can God prepare a table for us in this wilderness? Can God? How are we going to pay our taxes? How are we going to live without money? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to do this? Can God? Oh, you stubborn hard heads. What is God going to have to do to this house? It's gorgeous. My God, and that scares me. Because I don't know how many can endure that scorching. You're going to have to endure it. You're going to endure unto. Read on, son.
From the very day. Thou didst depart.
And you came out of Egypt.
Out of the land of Egypt.
Out of your sin.
Until you came unto this
place.
Until
you came to this place.
You've been rebellious. Against the Lord.
That's it. That's enough. Thank you. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. I was thinking as he was talking about the word shame, because that's what came to me. See, that's how quick Satan does things. I'm sitting there and he's talking about the word shame, and my mind quickly went to the scripture, they thank God. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. And I was trying to say, because I said, now if he used it, but see, most of the time the pattern's usually fault. You let one thing out. And he let that one out. I thought, sure, going on shame, he head for it. Smart as he is. With his computer Bible, he puts up the word shame. Tells you where it's all at. See, I use those things too, so I know how you do it. You're looking for a scripture verse, and you get more than you look for. With the computer Bibles, you get more than you look for. And then you really get confused sometimes, because you didn't tend to get all that. There's always not an old brother sitting there telling me I'm telling him wrong. How many times you're looking for a specific shame, and all of a sudden you got 25 shames you didn't want to use. Now you feel obligated to use them all. Come on, brothers. All you snot knows here to use the computer Bibles when you're studying for your things. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. You smart. Look, come on, Dennis. What do you think? I don't use it? Look how quiet it gets. Hey, what do you think the first one came around here again? That's why David said, I don't use no computers. I promise you, he punched up the word shame. He found that word, that scripture. He just didn't use it this morning. But he did it. It would have fit perfect. I thought sure he was going to do it. Is anybody with me right now, or did I lose you again? See, I'm trying to show you what Satan will do. When he start, what's the scripture used on shame? You had it right there, had it written down. My Lord, have mercy. If you can't remember it, find where it's written. Does anybody else remember it? No. Right toward the end. Boy, what kind of a man am I that I remember all these things? And these folks, and I got 1,000 things on my mind while I'm sitting here. Come on, still I can remember all these things. I wasn't even here when I heard them start. And you were sitting right here. My God, what's wrong with you people? I wasn't even in this room when the man started. I was still mingling telephone calls and doing it. And yet I heard what the man started with. Remember, I will hide your word. Remember. Right. God, you heard it. Go home. You're making me mad again because you won't even respond to what I'm doing right now. That's a sad state of affair that you folks said here. He ended his sermon with a script on shame.
For your shame.
And you let that get by? Will you shame me right now? Isn't that nice?
Glory!
Isn't it? And they thank God that they were kind of worthy to suffer shame. And you didn't latch on to that? How many times you think God shamed you? Look how he shamed me this morning. Look how he makes this man act. You think, as a man, I like acting like this? You stupid fools! You think as a man that I like doing this? This is shaming me. I should some dignity about me. Nothing I say penetrates your mind. Oh, you know what you're doing? You're sitting there again feeling, he's shaming me instead of saying, thank you, Lord. Look how he's making me look. Yeah, so he looks bigger. Yeah, we're trying to get him. We want him to look like. We want to look at him, not at you. We want to see him, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has I? Now the point I'm trying to get across about that, the moment he talked about that verse right there, boy, and I thought sure he was going to head for the next one. I thought, why would he not? And then all of a sudden it was gone. And I thought, boy, if he stops now and I got to go back there, I don't forget what the Lord told me. And the Lord said, see how quick Satan moves on out of your mind? That's what happened to you this morning. First, he got the scripture in my mind. And the only way I could get it back was just sort of shake my head a little bit and call it to remembrance. I'm trying to show you that when God puts a scripture in you, Satan comes immediately. He did it this morning to you, didn't he? That's why when you people walk out of this place, before you're out that door, some of you, before you're done with the service, you turn around and you start greeting each other, and you don't forget. You looked in the mirror, and then you turned and you forgot immediately what you look like. I'll go through that again. I'm sitting there, just as calm as could be. Tried hard not to come over here, because I was blessed by not having to look at your faces. And I heard from all over the world. Call after call. And all I could hear was, we love you, prophet. Bless you. Over here, I don't see that too much. Oh, but you always make us look bad. I don't do a thing to make you look bad. Not one thing. Not one thing. You do that all by yourself. And I've told you folk what to do about your faces. I want to know how many of you actually went to the mirror and looked into what I told you to do. Good, you like it? You keep looking till you get one that pleases God. He'll tell you when it pleases him. Because you're going to stand in his face and you're supposed to mirror him. We're supposed to be an image of him. We ain't supposed to see none of you at all. He is creating us in his likeness and in his image. They that come to God must believe that he is. And we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There he is again. Them that come to God must first believe that he is. He is. I don't forget one day, Kirk, you know, was trying to tell us that this is the image of God. You're crazy, boy. This is what sin, this is the image that sin has brought. Fat, skinny, black, white. God didn't create no white man. He didn't create no black man. He didn't create no Italian. That all came out of Babylon. He didn't create no Jew. He didn't create no Gentile. He didn't create no rich man. He didn't make no poor man. That all came out of sin. This is the result of sin. It's all a curse. White, black, rich, poor. It's not part of God's creation. Boy, did I just say something? Y'all sit like a bunch of peanut brains again? The thing for say, why is that? No, God didn't make you that way. See, we blame God for it. Even the fact you say, God made me like this. Where'd the black man come from? You didn't come from God. I'll say it again, you hard heads. He didn't make no white man. He made man. And he made all men of one blood. There was no fleshly man when God made him. There was no flesh. That was all spirit man. That's the kind of a body that Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. It was all spirit man. Come on. That was incorruptible flesh. No flesh glory in his presence. That all came from sin. There's no fat folk. No skinny folk. No beauty queens. No handsome men. He declared the end in the beginning. That's the way we're going to be in the end. never mind. We got to thinking about those verses again this morning. Where the apostle Paul said the sufferings. We talk about suffering. Then he said the sufferings of this present time. Boy, he ought to talk to us, right? He just didn't live in our day. He didn't know what suffering was all about. All you folks that got sick today, what did you do? Yesterday, what did you do when you got sick? What did you do? Went to your house? Laid on the bed? Had somebody looking on you? Check out, bring your... I went to see my old brother Jeff the other day. He had a glass of orange juice laying right there. Somebody's checking on him. Isn't that something? Who was checking on you? Who rushed the orange juice? Brother Glenn. Uh-huh. Did Greg ever bring anything? You mean Greg came and said hello too? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Huh? Isn't that something? Who checked on you? Huh? Somebody did. Yeah, somebody checked on you. Somebody checked on you. Yes. Yes, they did. That's that same person you'd fight with if you as well. You said bless you when they come in, huh? Sure didn't look good to see him, did it? You think they were your enemy when they come through the door? And all they saw was an old wretched person as you was. Dogs. Boy, now you're gonna watch them dogs bark and rage at me for that. You call them God's people dogs. Yeah, you dogs! Hey, we are outside the covenant, you know. The Mosaic covenant. And then I tried to tell you this morning, we're under the Abraham covenant. The covenant of faith. That's how that woman got in. That's how she got in. She went past the Mosaic covenant. Boy, it doesn't make any difference how you say it in this household. Tell telephone to get understanding. Tell them how dangerous it is not to have it. And some folks still insist on not understanding. Somebody said, Brother Stairwell, if you said things more clearly, we understand. And I'm going to tell you again how you understand. The Bible says, by faith, we understand. Was that too far over your head too? Huh? That's why I have no trouble with God. He says things to me. I don't try to figure it out. No dinosaurs. That's it. I don't try to figure it out. I just understand it. I don't try to figure out how what the new birth is. I just understand it. By faith, I understand. I've tried to tell you people all along how to do it. Yes, I have. Well, I just don't understand about my situation. We are back at Job again. If I could just explain it to him, he'd understand my situation. You've been told the things that happened to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That doesn't shame me. I thank God he counted me worthy to suffer shame. How did he count me to suffer shame? Well, he let me suffer because I didn't always trust in the gospel. Because I didn't trust in the gospel, I suffer shame. If I trust in the gospel, there is no shame. For the things that happen unto me, no matter what they are. No matter what they are. That gospel can save on to the uttermost. No matter what you go through. No matter what you endure. And Paul said, when I think of all the tribulations and persecution you endure, I say, wow. Wow. So there's a bunch of folk that God has chosen to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Worthy. Wow. What gets in the way? Your iniquity. You're afraid to submit to God. He won't do you right. It's getting quiet again, is it? Getting quiet again. No, I don't think that's what he's doing is right. He won't do you right. You know, I've been saying to people the last couple of days, I don't do wrong. I don't care what you see me do. I'm not doing wrong. I'm telling you. You can go to hell with your damn lies. I don't do wrong. You see, look at them. And you better thank God for that. How could a similitude of Christ do wrong? He can't do wrong. No, because no matter what he does, God makes it right. You see, that's, every time I say that not for me, but for you. That is a picture of you. And that's what Christ did. He came down and became a picture of you. He said, convince your sin. I said, we got you. He said, go and convince me. See, they couldn't do it because the Spirit of God was not in them. The only thing that can convince you of sin is the Holy Spirit. If I was sinning, the Holy Spirit would tell me sin. He would convince me of it. Well, Brother Stir, there is nothing sin of itself. Don't tell me lying's a sin. Well, then Jonah lied. He lied with a thus saith the Lord. But God said, no, that ain't no sin. That ain't right. Everything he does is right. What do you think? How do you think you can sit here today and claim righteousness with all the sin you've done if God would have said there were sin? He hasn't rewarded you. He hasn't charged you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth, and that settles it. They that come to God must first believe that he is. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, my God. Lord, have mercy. You don't quite understand my situation. If I could just explain where I'm coming from. No, where are you coming from? We know where you came from, full of rebellion and full of sin and provoking God. We're trying to get you where you're going. Hallelujah. Not where you're coming from. I know where you come from. See, you forgot you were purged from your past sin. Hey, if you were purged from your past sin, you can't ever do that one again. When something's purged now, it can't surface no more. Oh, boy. Will we ever find the house of God? One time, Lord, please. Hear my prayer. One time. Just one time. Oh, he told me when he's going to let me see it. I'm going to have one time. I'm not sure you'll be there, but one of these days I'm going to stand in front of the people of God and I'll be able to speak unto them as unto spirit. See, you are yet carnal, sold under your sin, or still condemning yourself or justifying yourself or measuring yourself by your own sin. That's why you're yet carnal. You are carnal, sold under sin. And that's how you put your relationship with God. That's how you measure your relationship with your fellow man. Because you're still sold on your own sin. Come on, that's how you treat each other. By what you know about yourself, and what you know about them. That's the way you do it. If you would see each other in Christ, there would be no sin. So there'd be no prejudice, no ill talk, as much as you do it to the least of these. See, but you know, you're still carnal. You're still sold. Yeah, you're still a possession of sin. Your sin still possesses you. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And now being made free from sin. Free from what? What does sin do? It kills you. It can't kill me no more. I can sin 1,000 times. If I do, it can't destroy me no more. Paul said, just do your job, sin. Just do your job. We believe in a resurrection, boy. You ain't gonna kill us. Our hope beyond this physical life. My treasure's on the other side. Hallelujah. My affection's in Him. I ain't going to struggle with this no more. Never did win one of them. Never did win one of them. Paul said, when I wanted to do good, I just didn't do it. I just didn't do it. I said, I'm going to do good today. Look at this hard heads. And look at the best of you around here. Just look at your lives. Just every single day. Every single day. Yeah, you have to get that daily bread every single day. Without it, you die. Just a crumb, Lord. Dogs. Just a crumb, Lord. Glory to God. Thank God. They thank God they were counted worthy to suffer shame. Yeah, you can be shamed more. Sure, they're going to shame you. If you don't think that Satan is going to, when he comes on the scene in your life, you know what he's going to do? He's going to point out all your sins. He's going to use the New World Order to point out your sins. Yeah, your sin is going to be for you. Constantly before you. Yeah, it's going to be right up. Your sin. Yeah, right there in front of you. And then you're going to say, truth, Lord. And we overcome by the... as a river, there is a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's way. Wow, look what he done with me. He done washed me clean. Every day. Yeah, we walk in that light. Why, Paul said, you know what I thought? He said, I thought I was alive. What he said? He said, I thought I was really living. Until the commandment came. Now, what did the commandment do? Showed me sin. He thanked God for that. Can you picture him going all of his life in that false light? In that false life? And I'm over their heads again, Lord. Make one little scriptural statement and poof, there you go into a fizzy. Now, Paul said, I was alive without the commandment. That's what he said. He said he was alive. In other words, I thought I was in God's will. How many of you folks thought you was in God's will until you heard this prophet? How many people said to me, boy, I thought I was saved until I heard you? Well, that wasn't good. Yeah, that's it. Make sure make your calling election sure. You've been called. See? Well, you took it away. No, I took away what you was trusting in. You was trusting in your own little light. Paul said, I was alive without the law. How many folk out here think they're alive without the law? We don't need law. They think they're alive without... I'm alive, man. I got life. He has a son, has life without the law. I think Brother Dennis here brought out a good part the other day. And one that's coming is called the lawless one. The lawless one. And we got a church in this world that's a lawless one. And they think they're alive without the law. Now the Bible says that law that was meant to give life actually brought death. You start preaching the law today to these grace people and you kill them right away. You kill them right away. But that's the intent of it. That's the intent of it. And the intent is still the same. The intent was to bring you to Christ. That was the intent. That's the intent. And God's intentions are still the same. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. My Lord, have mercy. You know, Stephen did that one day. He just stood there and boy, he went right down the line. And he just opened up that book. And what a message he preached. And them folks didn't write to read with them. They're reading. So y'all get it? Y'all get it? Well, we got a question. Who's he talking about? Are you sure it was this your Nazarene? He's the only one to fill the book. He fulfilled all scriptures. Every one of them. He measured up. Well, now, we never had a chance to talk with him. He never came by our synagogue. But look, man, I'll tell you, he did it. The record proves it. He fulfilled all these scriptures. But how many times this morning I said, remember! And then I come back here and do it again. Did you hear me on the radio? How? Remember! Remember! Remember I said this? Remember I told you that? Remember! Remember! Look, you don't remember I said it. So, boy, woo! I'm trying to tell you what Satan's doing to you folk. I sat right there, and I'm the man of God. And I sat right there, and the Holy Ghost put a scripture right in my spirit, just like that. In 10 seconds time, it was wiped out of my mind, and I went into a little confusion because I wanted to use it. If he wasn't going to use it, I wanted to use it. And I lost it. I'm sitting there saying, what was that? And then thank God it came right back to me because I was able to remember. And the scripture was, they thank God that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. See, it fit right in what he was doing. I'll go through it again because y'all forgot even 5 minutes ago. He closed out his sermon with a scripture on shame. You got it again, please? For thy shame, my God, you don't want to suffer shame? When he going to reward you double? And when I come, I will bring my reward with me. And he going to reward. And you, that's what I'm, hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You ought to go back and see what they suffered. Read about the shame they suffered. That's the way this church, this church is not going to exist on this earth being accepted. We're going to be shamed, humiliated, beaten. He's going to turn us over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. There they go. Now, we've been warned. I've told you dozens and dozens of times. The thing that got me provoked this morning is I've tried to tell people to stop saying things. Just stop. And when I say it, they look at me and they say, well, what does he mean by that? What does he mean? Huh? We just make statements. I hear them all the time, just little phrases. And when you do, you lock yourself in. Now you're locked in. You'll make a comment. You'll make a judgment on somebody or something they're doing. Now you're locked in. There you are. Your own words are your snare. And it's sad because you tell me, brothers and sisters, why we don't have the love for each other because of our mouth. We make comments. We say things. And this is Gethsemane now and Pilate's judgment hall. And in Pilate's judgment hall, he had a chance to save his hide. Pilate said, boy, if you'll just talk to me here and give me something to go out there with, legitimate, legally, said, I'll turn you loose. I'll save your skin. Preach unto them Jesus. That's what I'm doing. I'll save your flesh. And Jesus said, I ain't going to talk. And he didn't. The Bible said he was like a lamb before his shears. He opened not his mouth. Wow. I never really comprehended this. What a spirit. How we don't want to be told to be quiet and be still. We think it's part of our right to talk. I got a question for you. I got a comment to see. Can I say something about this? Can I? And I've told you dozens of times, when you start your questioning, you're heading for the questioner. You're not even looking for an answer. You're not even looking for an answer. Your target is to get the guy. You use the question to see if the questioner's wrong. The one you're questioning. Yeah, that's right. Dotting about of... Well, don't you think we have a right? No. Just understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's all. Get understanding. And shut your mouth. Well, I just can't understand why this young lady over here had to go get sick. She's been doing so good. Well, isn't that something? Why, Lord? And she said, you went and got sick too? Lord, have mercy. Well, let me ask you a question. How well do we do with that? See, we were told it's inhabitants not say I am. That don't make sense. But I tried to bring that point out to you this morning. All the while, yet this stuff is going on. You folks thought I was well, didn't you? Look at me. Well, you sure moved around like you did. Sure didn't act like you were sick. And then I told you why. I determined not to even talk about it. Look at me. I must have laid down 100 times the last couple of days. But I would never say how I was feeling.
Well, we don't believe that, Brother Stair.
Well, I don't tell you a lot of times how I feel. Because I don't go with my feelings. I don't do nothing by feeling. I don't do anything. If I show up next to you, it's not because I wanted to do it. And where's our problem at? Where is our problem with this? We won't submit to the righteousness of God. See, we won't even submit that God gave us brothers and sisters. See, like those folks that showed up here, these so-called folks that came by to be with us today. Are they still here? Do I keep allow people to stay here if God didn't send them? Huh? And every time, I actually walked out in that parking lot this morning. I checked every car before I came in to see if there's a wrong spirit in any of them. And if I would have found a wrong spirit in them, I would have come in and said, whose car is that? And you'd have been down the road. Now, what am I doing now, Chip? And what am I going to do? What am I doing now? I'm putting a robe on some of you hard heads. I haven't liked your face since you've been here. No, I haven't. But at least your heart's right. Your old flesh is giving you some trouble, but your heart's right. And we'll go along with that. We'll go along with that. You're struggling. You're fighting like most women are. I know it. Yeah, I know it. I don't care how holy you look. I know the struggle that's going on in these people's lives today. And your heart's right. Thank God for the righteous heart. Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. And he'll bind up that heart. He'll bring you through it. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah. Oh, what do you think I let you sit here for? You because you like your looks in your face? You know, you people used to watch me do this every time I went to the tent. You'd watch me get out and you'd watch me walk around the tent. You'd watch me do it. I guess you thought I was just saying, hey, look how many we got. I'm counting to see if I can get 1,000. You know? Huh? That's all he was doing, you know. Just, I could have told you when we had 1,000 there. I could have told you without any problem, because I know how many chairs we had, dummies. And God's going to be able to tell you when his house is full, because he knows how many places he has. He don't need numbers. You stupid hardheads. You intelligent fools. Come on. You don't have to count people here. I just know how many chairs I got. And I don't care if I got every one full except one. It still wouldn't be full. If I had 1,000 chairs and had 999, and the only way most folks say we had 1,000 because they didn't recognize the one that was empty. When the man come in, he looks to see if there's any empty spaces. He's not worried about the full ones. He leaves the 99 if they're in the fold. He ain't worried about them. He goes looking for the one to fill up the empty space. Boy, that's a problem on my heart. I walk around these grounds every day and see these empty trailers. God going to bless me again before this another 30 days goes by. You're going to fill every trailer. Yeah. Pastor Roberts is coming for a visit and he'll fill them all up for me. I'm going to get what it's like to have a full house. I'm going to be playing with a full house. I mean, where are you going to sleep? Where are we put them? I put them in your bed. You may be gone. Got one over there. I don't have to worry about it. I can put three bedrooms over there. Just a little while ago, it was full. Empty today. Yeah, God knows how to empty a place to make room. Let's see, how many, we can put at least 10, 15 over there. Right over there. There's three big bedrooms. Two big bedrooms plus a big living room. We don't live in these houses, no how. We don't need no living room. Put a bed in your living room. Hey, we're going to the kingdom of heaven. And that's going to be a big living room, nothing else. What did I tell you? Remember me saying something last night about what was going up at higher ground? What did I tell you was going to happen? There it was. Of course, Brother Frank, you don't get mad at me. You can't afford to. Hey, when God starts telling the truth about you, don't get mad at him. All I'm going to tell you people over and over again, don't you make any plans and then come and tell me after you've made them. I don't want to hear them. Just go do your old damn stuff. And then pay the price of doing your own will. Don't come and tell me, Lord, you're the prophet, you're the prophet, you're the prophet, and then circumvent me. And then when things don't go the way you want, then want me to deal with it. I'm not going to do it. I've been told by Almighty God many months ago, I told you how the day I walked out of the dining hall. Anybody remember? I went right to the radio room. I walked out of the dining hall. My heart was heavy. I was walking down the road. And I went right into the radio room. And I sat down and turned on the mic. And I started talking about God. I said, God just told me something. Remember? Anybody remember that? Huh? No, boy. Isn't that something? God said, Ephraim is joined to their iniquity. Leave them alone. You understand that? That's the reason why you're still out there, brother. You're still joined to your iniquity. You understand why you're still out there? You're still joined to your iniquity. You understand why you're still out there? Now, your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. I can tell you that because I came by your house the other day. And there's one thing that stopped me from coming in your house. I saw how you went and fixed up a nice place to live over there. Man, if you was intending to move over here, why would you do that? Because of your iniquity. I saw a nice little shed out back. I thought, my God, he's building a house here to live in. Yeah, I actually went by. Lord, I fought like hell because I didn't want to do it. Oh, I'm going to deal with him. I ain't giving up on him. Oh, y'all don't like when I talk to you like that, do you, huh? Yeah, I'm going to keep on talking as long as I ever stay out of here. You don't want to hear me talk to you like that? See, he didn't know when the Son of Man was going to show up, did he? Did he? I liked it the first time I went over there. I actually, hey, when I came back and told you how he lived, what did I tell you, Brother David Jackson? I said, he looks like a vagabond. See, now he looks like more like a permanent citizen. That bothered me. I liked it better when he was living like a vagabond. When he had the old tent stretched down, the old junk laid out everywhere, ready to throw it all in. Now he's got it more permanent. See, he made it more difficult for me. See, some of you people get so set in your ways, you don't want to live like a pilgrim no more. Now, this is not what we're looking for. But see, it's the way we get. Look at them, look at me. How you two doing? Getting real settled in your little old married life? Huh? Hmm? Getting real settled in it? Oh, isn't that nice? Hmm. Shame for Jesus to come now and mess up that marriage, wouldn't it? Wow. God. It doesn't make sense how I say this, brother. The Bible says, let the bridegroom go out of his chamber. Now, that's fine as long as you're not the bridegroom, right? But you see, this bridegroom is going to go out of his chamber. Hmm? He's the bridegroom, you know. Behold the... Why, he's coming out of his chamber.
Yes.
He's coming out of the boudoir.
Yes.
He got it all prepared, got it all perfumed, got the tapestry all laid out, and he's going to go out of his chamber.
Praise God.
That's how I talk.
That's
what language I use, God. Well, we just don't understand what you're talking about. Well, I remember years ago. You see, I told you, I've been through here before. When I started preaching the second coming of Jesus, believe it or not, folks, I did not start when you heard me. I can go back here and bring out a notebook that I told you that I had 35, 40 years ago. I got two main sermons in that book that I used to preach everywhere I went. One, signs of his coming. Two, the fact of Jesus coming. I preached this long before you peanut brains ever showed your head around here. I've been a second coming preacher all my life. It didn't take you to remind me of it. And I've met you before and I've been rejected all my life because I always preached who was going through tribulation. And all my life as a Christian, I've been through tribulation. Tried at every point. In every situation. I've been a tribulation preacher. Look at me now. I got a wife and a child. None of you have suffered like Naomi. None of you. I've watched the little girl lose weight. And you know what she's doing right now? You want to tell what she's doing right now? She's waiting for Daddy to come back to the house. Because somehow when Daddy's there, I marvel at that. I marvel at it. She'll say, you going again? You come right back. Do you folk understand what's over my head with her? What's over my head? Forgot again. Is it all right with you if I kill her? Now, she didn't even hear me. How would you like to hear that? See, that's the stuff that's... That little girl's a... She's not a dummy. She's a smart whiz. She remembers more than you people can think about. She remembers a lot of things I say. Almost everything I say. That's why I told her again the other day. I said, I'm going to tell you something, child. You're going to be saved. Because God gave it to me. This is not a child of my flesh. I got 5 kids from my flesh. God did not save Abraham's kid from his flesh. But he did save the one of promise. You peanut brains. And you're not my family of my flesh. And God ain't going to save my fleshly family. But you're not my family of my flesh. You're my family of promise. And I've been faithful in my house. You hard heads. Boy, my family. Some of you folk have done worse things to me than my family's done. Some of you have done more. Where did my family miss it? Where did my first family miss it that would not receive me as a man of God? Time and time again, when my son would call over here and say, Dad, I said, don't call me Dad, boy. I'm not your dad. Until you accept me as a man of God, I'm not your dad. Until you accept God as God, he will not be your dad. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? And your salvation is not from your God. It's from your Father. Do you understand that? No one can come to me, Jesus, except the Father. You peanut brains, you hard heads, you rebellious house. You see, to have God as your Father, you must know you've been born. Come on. It's a birthright to call him Father. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's a birthright. He's a God of all flesh. He's not the Father of all men. He is the God of all flesh, but he's not the Father of all men. Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, people often wonder why I take so much time. Because I'm always afraid. Because you're so soon removed. So I try to keep you here where I can just keep pattering at you. I'm tired. I'm weary. I hurt. And yet I keep you here because the moment you walk out that door, some of you are just like that. Immediately. I watched it last night. I watched it this morning. God, how do you do that? How do they do that? Why? Amen, brothers and sisters. I've watched it dozens of times. And I'm talking about the second coming of Jesus. What do you think was the first things I dealt with? I told you, I dealt with it. I still can take you back to this particular time. It was down in New Orleans. And I was preaching the coming of Christ. When I got done, 2 folk walked right in my presence. They said, you really believe Christ coming? That's not mine, it's 20 years ago. I said, yeah, I believe Christ's coming out soon. Well, I hope he waits a little longer. I looked, I said, what? Well, why would you want that? Well, I just got myself a home. All my life I wanted a nice home, and I finally just got myself a home. I sure would like to live in it a little while before Jesus comes. And the second one says, I hope you're wrong. I said, why is that? He said, I'd like to get married first and have a honeymoon. What's your reason for saying the Lord delayeth his coming? He hasn't delayed it, you know. He hasn't delayed it. He's just been very kind to give us a longer warning than some people. He said, I'm going to have to give these folk a longer warning because they won't obey my warning so quick. What would you know if it was a warning that was coming tomorrow? And you were told to set your house in order. He walked up to Hezekiah and said, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. How are you going to set a house in order for 20 years and mess up? His house was out of order, you know. I don't care whether you like it or not. But the prophet told him to set his house in order. And when he heard that message, he said, how am I going to do that? Where was he out of order? I was thinking this morning as I was talking again. how God has insisted that the people of this generation receive the prophet. Stop questioning the prophet. Somebody said, Brother, you're just trying to, you're fools. If you think I'm going to get by with not doing anything that God wants done, you're crazy. You'll cast me away. So don't, you can submit to anything and still, and if I turn out wrong, it won't affect you. It won't affect you. If God throws me away, it won't affect you. No, it won't. No, it won't. No, it won't. See, we don't buy this. There's no way that John the Baptist could have been wrong. I don't know of anybody else that has agreed with me except you folk here. And a lot of the things that I say you folk agree with, but you only agree with it because you're here. You think Booner agrees with what I believe now? Do you agree with it only because he was here? And when he couldn't walk with me in that agreement, he had to go someplace where he could disagree. Why can't Kirk? Because he had to go somewhere because he disagreed. You can't walk together except you agree. And that's why you're walking with me right now, because you agree with me. But you're only agreeing because you're here. And some of you go out there and you'll head for the biggest sugar parlor in town. You head for the Dunkin' Donuts fast as you can get to it. You head for shopping centers. Yeah, you would. The only reason you don't do it because you're here. And that's what it's all about. If God can keep you in a fold, you won't go eating. That's what it's all about. Hey, thank God for the confines. The limitation. If you don't believe I'm telling the truth, ask these folks to live off here and watch. They don't abide by our rules. Ask the brothers to go off the land. Is that a big temptation, ask the brothers, Brother Peter? Huh? Still carrying your lunch? Boy. He was saving him, he carries the lunch. The devil can't say, well, you're hungry. They don't mind if you go get something. He said, I got a lunch. How about you, boys? You must have a wrestle with that. Oh, Sammy wants to stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I can see that. How about you, Edward? Aren't you glad for the lunch? So God's giving you a lunch, so he ties you over. He got a meal prepared. Boy, he got a banquet. You know what he's going to do? He's going to prepare you a table right in the presence of your enemy. And he's going to let Satan look up from the pit and see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He got good things planned for us. Work on those faces, folk. They provoke God. He doesn't want them. He hates a cast down look. He told you when you see these things, what things? Well, the things that's happening to you, according to Scripture. But I didn't think it would be like that. He said, I done told you. And you're going to be hated, despised, rejected. Hmm? What do you think the one? Yeah, that's right. You ought to hate your own self. Have despise inside of you for your own self. For your flesh. That's right. I don't like the way I feel about myself. That's okay. Feel bad about yourself. Boy, that sure don't fit with modern day psychology, does it? How the whole theology say makes somebody feel good about themselves. The whole theology. I'll tell you the secret. The secret is submission. And submission is no questions, none whatsoever. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice for me, and I long. And be closer to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. submit. And they, not submitting to the righteousness of God, went about to establish their own righteousness. And God says, it's a pile of dung. You know, you even think it's right. We even think it's right to find what's wrong in the other fellow. The Bible said they're going to kill you. They think you're doing right. What men think is right today, it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? And God said, I don't think like that at all about righteousness. What? You mean I don't kill nobody, that ain't right? You mean if I don't commit adultery, that ain't right? God said, I don't think like you. Sorry. He told me that. He said, hey, Moses said something. He said, yeah, but I look at it different. I don't see it like that. Just one time, Lord. Just one time. I promise you that God has made me another promise that in this next gathering, I'm going to have 1,000 spiritual saints. Now, unless you're spiritual, you ain't going to be there. That's like I said the other day. I'm not going to call it. You folks don't believe me. I'm not going to call this one. I'm staying out of that. I'm going to do what God told me to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand at the door and say, when they walk up, and God's going to say, that one's coming. And I'll say, you go. Depart. 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 Oh, they're going to come now. Man, he's going to seek to enter. He's not going to come into that gathering and find anybody there without a wedding garment on. Scare you? Shouldn't? Even right now, I'm trying to put it on you again. Yeah. That's not right the way some of you are responding. We're not going to have that. No long face, downcast, sad folk. Remember the last gathering we had? We had a man in a wheelchair. Remember? You watched the man's attitude? Did you watch his spirit? The man was dying. He's dead now, you know. Huh? Now we have a lot of folk that died from that gathering. Simon was there, you know? Remember Simon? Preached one night. Remember? Huh? We have others who died because they left. Which ones do we remember? Well, the ones who died in the Lord. That's what we remember. That's the ones I call remembers too. I was listening to the phone this morning, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you couldn't stop the phone from ringing. Oh, I didn't even have the number out. One time. You are just the most unimpressionable people I have ever dealt with.
Well, big deal.
Big deal, huh? You don't even know how to respond. I'm telling you, it's sad. It really is. The moment I say something like that, your face ought to light up and says, tell us it all. Make sure you understand. I'm telling you, I did not even get the number out one time. Just like that, I stopped preaching. I said, hey, I got everybody out here. Let me hear from you. Five, and I didn't ask for no radio check. I just started throwing out the number, both of them, as fast as I could. I didn't even get it out of my mouth. I'm telling you, I did not get the whole number out. That phone was ringing. Then that was ringing. And they just kept going like that, back and forth, until I walked over to this room. And from all, from Netherlands, Germany, England, several times from England, faxes, emails. The only ones that don't hear are this house here. Oh, he's trying to make you look good. Ain't that nice? That's what God's trying to do with you. Trying to make you look good. See how your stupid mind kicks all the time because of that worldly junk? You know how bad you look and God's trying to make you look good? Huh? Praise the Lord. May God help us. We're getting close to the end, folk. One of these days, this ain't going to fall apart. You know, none of you are going to make it unless you're in God's inner community. None of you. That's what God ordained me to do as a last day prophet. And that's what he wants done. And none of you are going to get into the kingdom unless you measure up. And if you wonder why you're not into a kingdom, your spirit's still not right. And I'm going to tell you what happened. In the midst of all of them calls, all of a sudden, now, if I would mention this man's name, most of you would know. But all of a sudden, I heard his voice. In a moment, it's like that. I didn't rejoice over it. I thought the man's still trying to snow job me. Just his name. I'm not reaching you people as I say this to try to warn you. The man personally done me no harm. But that spirit that on him, and you know what the spirit of most of these people is? It's a presumptuous spirit. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. Just a few days ago, this fellow already wrote, he said, I understand you're getting ready to have a gal, and he said, put me down, just like that. See, he never heard a word I said. Just presuming. Get presumptuous. I'll activate my will. I'll be there. Presumptuous are they. They presume. Hey, that's what folk do when they come around here. Isn't that what you all presumed when you got here, when you first came here? Sooner or later, you'll be on this community. Isn't that what you presumed? And what's kept you off? Your own presumption. Your own presumption. And I show up at the most inopportune time, don't I, sister? I show up at the wrong, huh? All of a sudden, there he is. And then that old human mind says, I wonder what he wants. They don't know he only minds himself with spiritual things because they're carnal. I wonder what he's after. Then he'll ask a stupid question, like I said, where'd that car come from? How did I react when you told me? Brother Brown, how did I react? You didn't notice? Was I excited? Well, you were. I wasn't. See, they still don't notice that my reaction. Well, what's wrong with getting a car? Well, that's where he got it or how he got it. I tried to tell this two and those over there and that one there. Several weeks ago, I started to make a move to bring all of them. Brother David Jackson, I even had a house picked out for you two. But we didn't know. No, because you were presumptuous. And your presumption, why do you think that brother went and built a little shack behind it? Because you presumed me. Well, I'm going to stay around here until he never thought that one day. As many times, did you expect me to come to your house that day? Isn't that something? Such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man coming. Oh, I mean, Jesus, that's right. That's the way you're going to show up. But that, and I'm a similitude. Just like that. Brother, I was coming over to bring you into the kingdom, but I see you already got yourself set up pretty good. Enjoy yourself. That's why some of you folk won't leave what you got. You're set up to live in this world. You're comfortable living this world. You love this present evil world. If you'd pursued being into a kingdom of God, with the family of God, like you would have wife, you'd have been better off. Now it's going to be more difficult now. See, you don't... Oh, hey, I did not stop him. Why did I put my blessing on him? Because he let me know that's what he wanted. And so I let him alone. He had a mindset that that's what he wanted. Ephraim is joined to what he wants. Leave him. Hello! I do that. I literally do that. I literally do that. Even on this farm, when I find some of you folk, you're going to keep on, I just leave you alone. Some of you folk, I don't, how many people, why, there's people on this farm I don't talk to for 1 week after the next. Never say a word. There's some I talk to all the time. There's others I don't ever talk to at all, you know. Come on, how many of you brothers can admit that I've gone for weeks and not say a word to you? Not a word. Come on, not a word. Not, don't even look at you? Don't even greet you? Come on. Why? Why do I do it? What? You know, brother, you said, well, you're already talking to David Jackson. You know why I talk to David Jackson, Pastor Timothy? You know why I do it? They tell you why. Brother Jackson got up here and he told you about the service to the prophets. Remember? He said, what do you call him, David? And what did he say he did? There were men that belonged to the chief. And they watched out for the chief. They don't, and he said something about it. He said, they don't tell you his strengths. They won't tell you his weaknesses. They won't tell you where he's right. They won't tell you where he's wrong. He's just a chief. And you know about David Jackson. Don't go to David Jackson with anything about me. Don't do it. He ain't gonna move. He made that proclamation when he came here. He made that proclamation. And the one time he almost moved, I caught him on it right away. David, when Kirk came here, I reminded him what he said. I said, you going to let him do that to you? Because Kirk came here one day, and I let them both down at the motel, and old Kirk was playing a little smart-aleck role. See, I knew all along what Kirk was doing. Oh, brother's there. Yeah, Kirk is going to have to, if he's going to be a prodigal, he's going to come back and say, I have sinned against God and against you, sir. And I'm looking every day for him. Maybe broken, hearted, headed, high-minded man, stubborn, to go to hell, folk. Don't you dare make a judgment against me again the way I'm doing it. You peanut brains, you hardheads who sit and defy me like this, some of you still do it. See, you only want to do that because you want to find a hiding place in men like Kirk. Because some of you just like him. Hey, you get a man where he comes back with a deliberate attempt to try to rebuke the prophet. And then you think even again that would amaze him. Because Brother David Marotta again was right there. First words out of my mouth, I said, Kirk, you came to rebuke me. Don't do it. You would think that, my God, what kind of man is this? He knows. You'd have thought that would put that on his knees right then. Those Gehazis. Your suppositions, your assumptions. You want to see something? You know, look back there, Brother Johnson, for a minute. You know, Brother Johnson's never wavered from the revelation that God showed him who the prophet was. And look how steadfast he is. Just look at the steadfast. You don't see the steadfastness just comes from that man. Just an ignorant old nigger. An old Ellery nigger. That's before with steadfastness. I was literally the other day again preaching that message. Boy, you bless my soul. I thought, man, you can't move them. There's a place you can get like that, brothers. There's a place you can get like that. Now let's go back to the first time I met the man. He walks through the door and right away he's a preacher. And right away he's called of God. Didn't tell me nothing. That should impress somebody. Should have impressed old Burgess too, shouldn't it? Stephen Burgess wasn't steadfast, was he? He was movable. Huh? And you were almost involved in that too a little bit, weren't you, brother? Because Burgess, he had a good relationship with Brother Johnson. I stopped it cold. I said, don't you let him move you away.
I didn't know your character. I didn't know you did things like that.
Even you got moved away a little bit, didn't you? You ought to be blessed you're back. Yeah. How long was she gone? About a year? Close to it. Lord have mercy. Did you find a pig pen out there somewhere? No? It was right there in your house. Had to come to yourself, Sister Edna. Edna's a good supporter. She gives very well. But we went a whole year without any of her support. Just about. Kept right on going. That's what he'll say to me. You're done now. We ain't gonna give you no more money. That's it. Got one calling now. She called this morning again. You hear her once in a while, she calls. What's her name, Margaret? Huh? Come on, Margaret, the lady from up there in Vermont, New Hampshire. Evelyn Brewer. She calls now. She called this morning, gave a good testimony. Hey, she called me about a year ago and flat told me to get off the air. She said, your work is done. You're finished. Stop. I just said, go to hell. She said, well, I ain't sending you more money. I said, boom, boom, that's it. And that's what I told you. Y'all remember when she called me a few weeks ago. I said, hey, what are you doing calling me? Caught it right. Look at these people looking. You folk don't remember nothing, do you? You don't remember nothing. And she's been back on the radio several times. And then she writes every week now. Well, it was about 4 or 5 months ago, all of a sudden, she called me back again, and I called her right. I said, hey, what are you doing calling me? Aren't you the one who told me I was done, finished, over with? I should shut this thing down? Well, the Lord, she'd probably hear me now. Somebody said, well, suppose you lose her again. And I never had her, right? How people indict themselves. How they do it. That's because they don't remember. You know, there's an incident, I'm going to go back to Kirk again. There was an incident that took place on these grounds that I remember so vividly. We were baptizing. I remember it. Why do you think God's been trying to tell you people about the sensitivity? Well, who's the first man that told you about my sensitivity of the Holy Spirit around you? Who's the first man that really, really drove it home? Who? You don't know. Back to Kirk, please. You don't remember this man's words. Poor you people. It's no wonder Satan can just run you roughshod over you, folks. It's no wonder he can do it. Because you don't remember anything. You don't ponder things in your heart so they can hold you, so they can keep you. David Jackson was saved long before I ever met him. He was serving the Lord with the same diligence, with the knowledge he had, that he had when he came to me and he has today. He did not use me or be used of me to get this diligence. He was just as faithful. When he heard about a prophet, he came right on. Hmm? And then he made a statement, since you've been here several times, about me. What do you want? You want to tell him it?
Yes, sir. I told him that this is the one man.
This is the what?
One man.
The one man.
That convinced me.
That convinced me.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
A shadow of a doubt.
That he walks and talks with the one true and living God.
Now, that settles that. How long do I do that? Look at this house. Except when I'm dealing with you, right? Old Kevin moved down here from Syracuse. Or whatever. They're both the same place. Yeah, he came with the full mind of moving on this Trinity. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, the only recourse you brothers have that I haven't... Yeah, I run people away from this community. Not only away from this tabernacle, my spirit drove them right out of the community. Right out of the area. Look at these people look at me. You just don't buy that. If I wanted you out here completely, brother, I could get you out here tomorrow. I mean, clear out of the state. They don't blame me. They don't beat me, brother. I never forget one man that called me one night and said, I'm down at the bus station. He said, I come to live with you. I said, like hell you are. He said, no, I'll be right out. I said, no, you won't. Don't you come out here. I put that phone, and I jumped in the car and went flying down to the bus station. There was this man standing out front. I walked up. I said, you out of town. He said, who are you? I said, I'm the man you just talked to. He said, how did you know who I am? I said, you fool. I don't know who I'm talking to. Out! You don't even stay in this town. You get the next bus and you're gone. I hadn't heard him. You folk don't believe me, do you? You just... And I tell you those stories. That's what God does with us. He told all the stories of people that he kicked out. And he said, you're still here, aren't you? You don't get it. You just don't get it. I never forget one day I was sitting in a radio room and a phone rang and a man come down from Richmond, Virginia. That particular day, I got a letter from that guy. First time I got a letter from him. He said, I'm a prophet. I come to talk to you. I said, I don't talk to you. Stay away from me. He called me back four or five times that same day. I said, man, don't you dare show your head up out here. And the Lord said, you're going to try to do it. So I jumped in the car, and I went down to the store, and I walked right into the store where that man was. That's where God... I walked right into the store, and I said, there's somebody been using the phone in here. And the storekeeper looked at me. Is it the pantry? But that man over there been using it. I walked over, I said, here, there's your money back. It's like that, because he sent me a letter that there was some money in it. I said, there's your money back. I said, now get out of here. He said, who are you? I said, you don't know who I am? He said, I know who you are. Isn't that something? God knows who you are. Do you know who he is? See how the pattern falls in it? Do you see the pattern? Do you see the pattern, brother and sister? Let's just take Brother Skinner back there. Brother Skinner did his best to keep from being a part of this ministry. He did his best. Now, why did I just let him go? Why did I just let him go? Brother Skinner, when I met you that day in Hardy's, that wasn't the first time we'd ever met. You had been to our place several times. And you had left to go to help the church out in Cottageville. When I heard that, I could have screamed. And you had a nice little ministry going. And I got on that too. Remember? You know what Sister Skinner used to do? Very faithful. They would go to nursing home after nursing home after nursing home and sing songs and minister. Now, isn't that something? And I told him, stop that. Get that look on your face again, trying to figure out what he's doing. All this nice equipment they had, boy, they had nice equipment, didn't they, brother? And they had good songs. They could sing up a stomach. They go to Orangeburg, the nursing home. How many places did you go? You go to Bamberg, too? Amber, at every nursing home around here. Now, I believe there was a time when there was a ministry for the nursing homes. Yes, I did. Street preaching, nursing homes, prison ministries. We should do all that here, believe it. We should do it all here. We should go to prisons, street preaching. I've been to the nursing home. When God said, that's enough, I stopped it. I had a man send me an email this morning. Now, He said, go visit my website. So I went on his website, and there's a nice-looking family up there. And he got this big old website, and he wanted to let me know that he linked us to him. Everybody goes to his website, they can find us. Isn't that nice? I'm reading down the website. He says, we hope that this website will win just one soul. Ah, screech. You know how close it is for God to tell us that every soul that he's ever going to win has already been won? That all the seats are already filled. That all the places are already taken. And you should stop trying to fill anybody else's place. Just stay in yours. That's it. Amen. And when he's ready, he'll find you. He will seek and save that which is lost. Did he go through Samaria? Did he go by Jacob's well? Who else was thinking that way? There was just one woman. And boy, he got rid of all the religious boys around him. Run them all off. Can you picture if he had started talking to that woman with Peter, James, and John around? Them smart Alex. He was very wise, wasn't he? Say, go get a hamburger, boys. I'm going to find me some lost sheep. I believe God deals with things just that intricately. You didn't think for a moment a brother was going to come all the way down from your little home up there? What am I supposed to do with people who continually keep on living out there when there are empty houses all over for God's people and you keep living out there? Why are you doing it? You haven't heard a word we said, have you? Well, why can't we move on with you? Well, because you still don't send the Spirit, the right Spirit that you will deal with it once you get here. See, God is, I am telling you that God is dealing with everything before he gets it into the kingdom. He's not going to permit any of your will in the kingdom. None at all. Zero. Zero. And he's going to divest you of all your identity. All of your identity. Or you don't get into the kingdom. And that's what he does with the communities. These are miniature kingdoms. Miniature kingdom. That's what they are. Everything's provided for you here. All things that pertain to life and godliness are here. Everything. 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 You ain't going, don't come here and think you're not going to get sick, because you're going to get sick, ask them. You ain't right. You see, I try to tell you, boy, I talk to this generation. How do I get them up to me, Lord? See, I told you I spent time in the Philadelphia church. I was in the midst of it. There was not Brother Chris. You know what I used to do sometimes? Right up here in St. George one time I did it. Several times, right here. I used to bring a pool in here. And Brother Rick told you last night what happened with that Philadelphia church. They never got nobody perfect. Most of you got healed. Ronnie Cohen had a miracle unparalleled. Today the man's out in the world serving hell. Still got his miracle. Because the gift and calling of God without repentance. Hey, I don't care if you go back on God. You still got the calling. And if you don't make it sure, you're going to pay for it. You're going to give an account of receiving the call. He said, I called and you didn't answer. I didn't call you, he said, but you didn't answer. He said, when I called your name, I was trying to elect you. But you didn't answer. You didn't want to be elected. They said, I called and you didn't answer. He used to sing a song like that. When he calls for me, I will hear. When he calls for me, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. I'll be somewhere listening. Yeah, he said, I called and you didn't answer. Many called. Many. You sing another song, Called Unto Holiness. Remember that one? No, you don't know it. You don't know it. Hey, it was right up here in Somerton where I used to put the pool down. And I'd preach on John chapter 5. And I'd have a pool of Bethesda service. And we'd have people come by the hundreds. And everyone that touched that water, every last one of them, were made every whit whole. Because the angel troubled the water. Yeah, the angel messenger would trouble the water. I'd sit right there with my hand troubling it as they put their foot in it. I'd have them come up there so lame they couldn't hardly walk, and I'd reach over and grab their foot and pick it up and put it in it. Whoom, they go flying out that way. Yeah. I wish I'd have been there so I could have seen it. We got something better for you. Somerton is up near where Brother We used to have 500-600 people in that place. Where are they? And he was spared. He wasn't in that meeting. If I'd had him in a meeting, I probably wouldn't have him either. I saw literally blind eyes open, at least three. One who was born blind. At least three in that city. Where are they? Where are they, Jesus? Where's the other night? Where are they? It's dangerous to get you folk healed. We got a better chance of holding you, keeping you sick. Keeping you afflicted. Hey, how does God get you back to him? He afflicts you. Unless the affliction comes in you. Oh, Lord. Boy, have you noticed how sweet people have been to each other with this affliction? You notice it? Boy, they've been sweet with each other. Everybody talking gentle and kind and sweet. You know why? Because scared it might hit you next. Chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Well, how long do you think this folks are going to go on, brothers? You people out there living in your houses, living in your own homes. I wish you could have heard Sister Bonnie this morning. Oh, Sister Bonnie's still listening, and you hear me still call her name in prayer. Somebody said, yeah, she's alive because she had the heart bypass. That's a lie. That's a lie. The heart bypass did not save her life. Only God did. And he should have damned her. But he's long-suffering. That's right. And I'm not going to ease up on that. Just like Brother Frank. I'm not going to ease up what I said about that. He had no right doing what he'd done. Without clear... Then expect me to put sanctions. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're going to go... Just like the brother over there. See, you asked the brother what I said to him when he first told him. He told me in Philadelphia. How many times you go back to Philadelphia, brother? Not very often, do you? See, before he married her, though, he was going every week. I thought he was going to see God. See, when I heard he was going, I was under the impression he was making that long trip to have fellowship with the saints. Come on, see, if he was going there, now he married a wife and he can't go? Why would that stop him from doing the same thing he was doing before? If he was seeking God with fellowship with the saints. You just don't follow me. You just don't follow me. You don't follow me. If his primary purpose of going there was seeking the kingdom of God first, foremost, then marrying this wife wouldn't have stopped that. They would still go there. But when he got what he wanted, he's going to like me because he says, I'm the prophet. Have you ever known me when I haven't reproved you, rebuked you? All we can do is trust that God will make it right. Thank God for a God who can make things right. But how many times we cause heartache and suffering because we seek our own. Oh, Brother Stair, yeah. Why drive all the way down here to see me? What for? Oh, we'd like to see the prophet. Well, that's what he's going to do. You're going to be coming. I told you. It's right. I told you. What did I tell you? I said, better not come. Because when you walk back in my presence, I'm going to, as Brother Rick says, he goes right to business. No matter how much his head's hurting, whenever you walk in my presence, I shift from being a man to a prophet. You don't like that shift, do you? You don't like that shift when he goes from the man to the prophet. Poof. Instantaneous. Well, poof. Amen, Brother Stair. We're getting close to the end, folk. And God loves you. If you think, you know, I often tell my oldest son, you know, I used to deal with my oldest son a lot. My oldest son, close to 50 years of age, pastor of a church. Probably a fine pastor. And one thing he said, I ain't going to be like you. That's true. He ain't like me. A likable guy. That's right. He is. He's a likable young man. You'd all like him. Sure you would. Talks about the Lord. Sometime ago he called me. Hi, Dad. I said, what are you calling me for? He said, well, I haven't talked to you for a while. I just want to talk to my dad. I said, how's your dad? What? How's your dad? See, now what had happened when he had gone to a church seminar. And he preached on honor your father and your mother. He was upset because so he wanted to give me some honor. I said, boy, you receive me as a man of God. And I'm going to tell you people that, whether you like it or not, that's the first thing you got to receive. When you receive the prophet, you receive him as a man of God. That's what you do. That's what you do. And you'll find out your life won't be complicated. Yeah. Amen. I wish somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to try to close with this, all right? Lord, be my helper. I told you why I'd keep you here. I'm afraid. I know the terror of the Lord. He's working very diligently to keep his people safe and sound in a fold. Do I have to go through it again? I'm the man of God. I sat over there and I watched Satan literally take that scripture out of my mind until I could not remember it. I'm talking about it in a matter of 60 seconds. The moment he used the word shame, that scripture came and just quickened. I'm not even reaching as much as I explain this. Just like that, I said, boy, I knew he was going to quote it. I just knew he was going to go to it. I couldn't see how you could use that beautiful scripture and not do that one. How does scripture read? For shame, I will give you double. Now, doesn't that lead you to the one where they thank God? That they were counted worthy to suffer shame? You're not with me? And just like that, boy, and I thought, I was hoping he wouldn't do it. Because I said, hey, that's going to help me out. Because I knew I had to get up here after he's done. And so while I'm sitting there, and I watch him getting close to being done, I said, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? So I keep looking for something to say. You don't like my honesty, do you? You folks just can't stand that honesty about a man telling you his heart. That's what's so amazing. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I don't want to stop. I just keep saying. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So there should be within him a well of water springing up. And out of his blood should flow rivers of living water. Have you ever seen mine dammed up? You ever seen a cap on my well? And I'm sitting there and I'm telling you, when he quoted the scripture, that flew into my spirit just like that. And I was sure he was going to go to it. And I thought, well, if he goes to it, I won't be able to use it. And he didn't do it. And then when he didn't do it, I lost it. I'm telling you, it went out of my spirit. I'm not exaggerating. It went out of my spirit. I said, oh, God, what is that scripture? And then the Lord said, you see how quick? You tell him how quick Satan can immediately. God, a scripture that brought life to me, a scripture that brought, and just like that, he stole it right out of my spirit. When God gave it back to me, boy, I put a guard up. Real quick, I put a guard up. And I just kept it holding, saying, get out of that pulpit. Get out of that pulpit. Get out of that pulpit. And boy, when he said, come on, can I move? I'm moving. Because I wanted to bring that jewel up here. Ah, those words of God. Them words of God. Brother Gordon, is that the name, Brother Gordon? Be watchful. I came by your house the other day. Yes, I did. Went right up, drove right up to it. Went by, start one time, turned around, drove away, wouldn't go. I said, God, I don't want to take that man on. Got enough of those kind of guys around. Yeah, because you see, once I take them on, then I got to tell them a certain thing to do. Ask Rick. Ask Brother David Jackson. You know, David Jackson, ask Peter. Peter, how did you finally get here? I told you to come. I didn't ask you. So get your butt down here. Hey, when I get a clear word nowadays, we don't discuss it anymore. How did Brother Burgess get here? Hey, I was doing fine. He was coming every weekend. He was doing all right. Huh? One day I said, hey, boy, time to make the move. I marvel at it. When they made the move, one of the first things to do was move her up here to the very room she's living in. Isn't that something? And he come up here letting me know he didn't want her to stay up here. Isn't that something? And when he finally got ready to leave, he said, she went to staff. I said, huh? I'm crying in my ears. And they're right back in the same room God had prepared for. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? You never, look at him, look at me. Look. Now, one of those things, who would think that this girl would even make that decision? And what a stable girl she'd been. What a stable, precious young sister she'd been. Amazing. Yes. She seems to remember an incident. And that remember her sort of keeps her perspective straight. I was talking to Laquila the other day. And Laquila said, that woman who calls herself my mother. I thought, what? Isn't that unique? Said she called me. I said, what are you talking to me for? I don't want to talk to you. Isn't that unique? Look at me. She said, that woman who calls herself my mother. You know the woman that brought me out of herself. That's not my Quila. That's what you want with me. We ain't got nothing to talk about. You're something. You people are something. Nothing seems to penetrate your stubborn heads. And all you got to do is just watch and see when people are able to get themselves in that position with God. I was trying to tell the people up there about those two young couples, that young couple. And I said, you look at that big young, that boy's 6'2". And I said, he's full of sperm. I guarantee, boy, when he lets the load go, it's full of sperm. I guarantee you can make 10,000 babies. Yep, because of, my God. You know, baby? That's amazing. No, you embarrass me, not shame you. I say this to your shame. Thank God you're being shamed. I say to your shame. Thank God you're being shamed. And I'm going to bless Sister Johnson again. She helped me out. She opened her big mouth. She helped me out. Because I can tell you, when Queela got up there, she was determined she was not going to have a baby that first year. She was determined. Yes, sir. So bless you, Sister Johnson. The Lord turned that around and made it work out all right. Amen, brother. Look at these. Boy, you folks, look at me. You just can't see the... Then I say, what kind of a man is he? What a unique young man. Just turning 20. What a unique young man. Come on, some of you old bucks. You know what that girl does? She said, not tonight, honey. Not safe. And that buck, he don't buck. That's unique, boy. That's unique. You see what's wrong with you people? We just can't seem to get you. See, you're still in that... The Lord told me this morning, and I tried to bring it out. I'm afraid sometimes, too, because y'all just so carnal. You're so carnal. Hey, and Satan entered into them. How'd he do it? Oh, he has intercourse. I believe in the serpent seed, folk. I fully concur with the serpent seed doctrine. I just don't apply it to the flesh like Branham did. Yes, Satan did plant a seed in Eve. And he did it it was a consensual agreement. He didn't rape her. You talking plain, brother. Yeah, I'm talking plain. And the reason I got that this morning is because as Brother Chip was talking, I kept hearing the scripture saying, receive the engrafted word. Receive. Let the Holy Spirit impregnate you. Let him impregnate you. Let him come in onto you. Let him sperm you full of that Holy Ghost seed. Come on. Amen. Let him come in onto you. Come on. Hallelujah. You know the Holy Ghost is still doing that today and not producing any babies? He's still impregnating his people and not producing any babies. Woe be unto them to get stuck in those days. Why, the more babies he produced today, the more he would lose. This generation aborts them. What, where are we headed again? Way out there. Huh? God's not producing babies. He's working in a growing up process. In a perfecting process. You don't perfect babies. Everybody has a perfect baby, right? When it starts growing, it don't look too perfect, right? Well, God started out with perfect babies every time. There is a reason why he established the husband and wife relationship. There is a reason why. And Paul told us why. And you can use this illustration very perfectly. If you can get your damn minds out of the gutter, see, this world is so polluted. Amen, brother. Yeah, I believe in certain seed, and he comes around constantly and puts that seed in your mind. He puts a thought in your mind. He puts a doubt in your mind. He puts something in your spirit. And it's like I said this morning, he takes you captive by your own will. He gets you to activate your will. That's all you got to do, and he got you. He got you, and he knows it. And that's what makes me furious, because I say, why did they do that? Why did they keep letting Satan do that? Why? Somebody pray and tell me why. Imaginations. You know what the Bible says about this generation? It says, you're full of wicked imaginations. What, you don't think your imaginations are wicked? Forget about sexual connotation here. I'm not talking about sex now. I'm talking about wicked imaginations. Things you think about yourself. Or about God. Or about your... Wicked! So my wicked, all that wickedness! Wicked! I played a song the other day. Brother Roland caught attention of it. Jesus came to your house. I just wonder what you'd do. How would you react? How would you respond? Boy, is it something, isn't it? Huh? It's something. How little we know about the workings of God. Wicked imaginations. The Bible said, cast down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Now, you have the knowledge of God. Add to your faith knowledge. And that knowledge is Christ is in you. Of a truth. That's the knowledge. Now, any thought that comes into your mind and tells you that that's not true or pushes that out of your mind and removes you away from that, you cast it out. Anything that makes you act contrary to that because you are a son, you cast it out. You cast it down. You don't go operate on it and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? And many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What does God's faith tell you? Believe. Have faith in God. But look what I have faith in God. He is able to deliver you. He is able to deliver you. Though by sin oppressed, come to God for rest. My God is able to deliver you. Have faith. Be obedient to that faith. Respond to that.
Oh, Brother Stern, that's easy for you because you don't go through what we go through. You don't have to deal with what we got to deal with. You know, I'm black and you ain't never been black. Well, I'm white, huh? You ain't never been white. Now, who got the biggest deal? Who got the better deal, you or me? Can you hear it? Can you hear it? See? You don't like when I say God didn't make black folk, do you? Don't like when I say God didn't make white folk. What color was Adam? What color is God? Look at this stupid folk. You still won't come to that realm. What language does God speak? English? German? Italian? French? What is it? 30,000 languages? How in the world does God expect to hear speak to all those people? You mean tell me God masters all those languages? God only speaks one language, you know. He don't speak all them languages. No, he doesn't. What language are you going to tell me to get in the kingdom? German? English? French? Huh? Well, look at these minds trying to figure that out. Of course, we're going to speak your language, right? We're going to speak a new language. That's right. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. That just gets to me. Just thinking about that. I marvel as I talk about it how those, they said, are not these all Galileans? And yet we hear them all speak in our own language. What a profoundness. And how we screwed that up so many years. We say the miracle was in the speaking. There was no miracle in the speaking. The miracle was in the hearing. Faith comes by, not by speaking. And see, if you folk would start listening to me, even though, where's your husband? You say, wow, you hear what that fellow just said? The Bible said a voice thundered from heaven saying, Saul! Isn't that something? Nobody else heard the voice. You talk about God doing a dramatic thing? Everybody sees Saul staggering around there. But he called him by name. He identified him. He wasn't listening. So he said, hey boy, what? You gonna listen somewhere, listen for your name. If you don't, he's gonna knock you off your horse. When he calls your name, you say, why are y'all doing that? I had such a good time talking to you, but you ain't having a good time listening. That's your problem. The Bible said there were Jews, men seeking wives and seeking husbands. You know what those men do to get there? You know what those men did to be there? They left their wives. They left their families. You husbands and wives know what it means to be married? It means you might go to the kingdom and your wife may not. You want to have a bunch of kids and not sure if they're going to make it or not? Parents all over this country, they just got it in their head that all their kids are saved. Old Richard, to get over here, had to leave his wife. Had to leave his nice little boy. You got a nice looking wife.
Nice looking boy. Nice looking man. I was watching Richard last night. Bless you, Richard. Bless you, son. Sister Stair was singing that song to Calvary, and boy, you were right down at the foot of the cross. Bless you, son. Loves much. Yes, sir. And he don't mind being ashamed. He don't mind. Shames himself every day. My strange folks sitting in the kitchen, and all of a sudden Richard starts hollering, and they look over at each other and trying to figure out Richard. He's just making a shameful mess of himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Y'all want to go home, huh? Well, I want to go home, too. I want to go home, too. The Bible said there were Jews, devout men. Now, you see, y'all don't like that, do you? But that fellow over in England, he says, wow, he said, brothers, I never heard a man take the scripture and preach like you.
All right.
Aaron, you somehow, when you just make them so plain. Except for a bunch of complicated folk, huh?
Yeah.
That's another scripture that I marvel at because the Lord showed it to me. The word devout. There were a lot of Jews there. The town was full of Jews. And they were from all over the world. And back in those days, it's just like if you was trying 50 or 100 years ago to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. Hey, when I first went to the West Coast, it took me a week just to drive it. Now, you might cut it down today to four days, maybe, if you drove it. You might today with the speedways. But when I did it, I still remember going across the desert. Never been across the desert in my life. As I started going across the desert, somebody stopped me. And I said, what are you going to do? I'm going across the desert. He said, you better not go out across that desert. He said, you ain't ready. Never forget the first time I went to Fargo, North Dakota. I thought that interstates in Fargo were like the ones on the East Coast. You know, every few miles you find an interstate with a McDonald's. And I headed across those Fargo, and I went past intersection, there was no McDonald's. There was no service station. There was no store. Now, they might have changed a little bit now. Has it changed a little bit? Not too much. And I can still remember, boy, I was about 100 miles away from where I had to go, and I was running out of gas. And thank God, you know what I found? I found a co-op. I'm glad it was a co-op. You know what that co-op did? It was shut down. But it had to live up to its name. It cooperated.
Yeah.
It was a co-op. That's what we are. We're a co-op.
Right.
Yeah, we're a co-op.
Yes.
What did it do? They had a gas thing in front. That the co-op people had their own cards, their own membership, you know. And they could use it any time they wanted to. They didn't have nobody pumping gas. It was a co-op. And if you was a member, you could go up there, put your card in, fill your gas tank up. And on the pump it said, in an emergency, call this number. And I called one of the members. He'll be right there. He come on out. He said, you can't buy gas here with money. You got to have a card. He said, I'll tell you what, you just give me the money and I'll put my card in. He co-opt. He filled up my tank for me. Yeah, there were Jews, devout men. When I started across the desert years ago, I had a 39 Pontiac. I'll never forget that. Had a full of gas. The man said, you don't need gas in a desert. You need water. He made me go get a great big old canvas bag full of water and put it on the front of the radiator. He said, there's two things. It helps keep your radiator cool, and it helps keep you cool. And I started crying because I had no concept, you know, how that you can find it. I went miles and miles and miles and miles, and no houses, no cars, no trucks, just nobody going either way. Just no place to take a break, no tree to go. Everything bare alongside the road. I never forget the first place I saw a little old shed alongside the road, a little store. And I pulled in there and I got a little gas and went inside and said, I want a Coke, please. Coke. Said, yes, sir. Here you are. I said, how much? He said, don't cost nothing. I said, how's that? He said, what you need, sir, is water. So if I was for you, I'd drink water instead of Coke. I said, out here you need water. Yeah, hot weather, boy. You're going to be going a long ways yet. I said, okay, may I have a glass of water? He said, a dollar, please. He charged me Charge me for the water. Give me the Coke. He didn't mind giving me the Coke. It's the Coke made me want to drink more water. That's the way some of you folk are today. You don't realize it. Are you coming here because you're seeking God or not? See, there were Jews, devout men out of every nation. There were a lot of other Jews there that were not devout. See, the devout means they came there primarily to seek God. And they had to travel. You take the journeys of Paul would take him 2 years sometimes to go from Macedonia, Athens. So what do you think it took some of those people? They came from all over the known world. The Bible said, no, they didn't come from the United States. They didn't come from South America. You're going to find out that these two continents were the last two discovered. And the last two is going to be, the first two is going to go. God reserved these two continents. That's way over your heads. Way over your heads. There was no United States when Jesus was here. There was no North American continent as you know it when Jesus was here. In all preceding world governments, there was no United States. There was no North and South America. 1892. Miraculously, God put it in a man to slide across that ocean and find this place. Or 1492, thank you, brother. 1492, right here in this last, moving right to the last time period. But the Bible says in Jerusalem there were Jews out of every nation. Remarkable statement. See, because the Jews are the only nation, the only people that are in every nation. It shocks you when you find that there's Jews in China, Jews in Nigeria, Jews in Australia, in every nation, the only people. A type, the natural type of the church, because the church is found in every nation. And so this gospel to the church of the coming kingdom shall be preached as an alerting, as a waking up, as a call to every nation. Get ready. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. I get calls from people all the time. I say, come and start a church. I ain't starting no church. Y'all get ready to meet God. That lady's asked me about the 501c. I said, what the hell you worry about the 501c? You're going to meet your God. You're worried about 501c or... I'm not even worried about the mark of the beast. Huh. I'm ready to meet God. I'm ready. Boy, the fear that comes on the people's faces when you talk about it. God, and they were afraid, and they were afraid, and they were afraid, and they were afraid. And Jesus said, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid. Why do we do that? Why don't we just get rid of it? How is God going to take care of us? Isn't that going to be interesting? Always that's going to be interesting. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when the day of the Lord shall fully come, there is going to be a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it's going to fill all the house they're setting. That's the way he began it. And they're going to be in one mind, one accord, one soul, and one place. Right. And don't be surprised there's only 1,000 Christians in this country. And so since there's only going to be 1,000, he has to get rid of a few. Got too many. So how do you get rid of you? Tell all those who are of a fearful heart. Boy, I could almost eliminate half of this congregation. You ought to see the fearful spirits coming out of you. You know why? Because you're worried about what's going to happen to you. That's why you're afraid. That's why you're afraid. I will boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man can do to me. That's why you're afraid. That's why you're afraid! Oh, brother, stare. We get sick, we're liable to die. And God said, I'm going to laugh at you when you're afraid like that. I watched God laugh this weekend. Are you afraid now? Y'all getting so sweet now? What's the matter? I thought you weren't talking smart a little while ago. When you're feeling well, you always talk big, smart, like running your mouth. Now you're down in the dumps, now you want to get real peaceful, be real quiet. Now, you were told all along, be at peace, but you wouldn't be at peace. Somehow you're at peace now, aren't you? Ooh, that sure to take the steam out of some of yourselves, didn't it? Didn't it, some of you haughty ones? Didn't it? Oh, not yet. Oh, again, Lord. I'm serious, folk. I'm serious. I'll say, God, I don't care what you got to do. I've done everything I know to scream at this house. I don't care what you got to do. No, sir. Brought to my mind about how he said to Zeke, I'm going to kill your wife. Now, I'm not saying you're going to kill Sister Stair. That's not what I'm saying. This is my wife, you know, right here. It's right here in the spiritual realm. I'm going to kill a whole bunch that don't straighten up. I don't even cry over them. There is no need for this amongst the people of God. Right here in this pulpit last night, we heard this man read what Charles Finney said about people who are miserable. Instead of going home and pouting over that, you ought to say, my God, convert me. And there's only one way you're going to be converted. Only one way. It's not going to be an act of God. We're waiting around waiting for God to do something he told you to do. He said, be you transformed. That's conversion. That is conversion. Transformation is conversion. Don't! You hardheads! Why, you continually provoke me with your stubbornness. When I say something that's right, you get transformed by the renewing of your mind. For what reason? So you can prove what is that good and perfect will of God. What is the good and perfect will of God? It's his will that you enter into the kingdom. That's what he wants. He wants that to be proven. His end result is that you enter into his presence. That's his end result. And he don't care what he got to take you through to get you there. And he's going to challenge everything else you got going in your soul. Everything. I don't care who you are. Young and old. You're going to dash your dreams. You're going to smash them. He smashed Paul's left and right. Paul said, it's all right. I know it's at the end of the road. Jews, devout men out of every nation. Jews. They get up and Peter comes and starts speaking. I'm marveling. I'm trying to show you something. I don't think those men got up there and each one of them started to speak a different language. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe they all come out to talk in an unknown tongue, a tongue that they did not know. It was a tongue that nobody knew, not even them folk out there. It was an unknown tongue to human intelligence. But when they heard it, God let them hear it in their own language. I wish it'd be unique to be there, wouldn't it? Hey, that man's talking my language. No, what you talking about, man? He's talking my language. What did he say? He said the same thing to you, said the same thing to me. Well, you know, God ain't going to speak in 1,000 languages. He's not going to speak in 10,000 languages. You don't need 10,000 tongues to extol his praise. You just need that pure language. That's all you need. And I can assure you it's not going to be Yiddish. I can assure you that. It will not be Yiddish. If there's one language that has blasphemed God, it's been Hebrew. That's the tongue where they cried out, away with him! Let him be crucified! Yeah, they ain't never going to hear them words like that again. And sure ain't going to be English. I can't think of another word, language that has swore so much. I don't know a swear word in any other language, do you? About every other word out of American is a swear word. Even if it's in a heck with you. You know what the word heck means? That was a fundamental Christian's way to get around hell. Instead of saying hell with you, they said heck with you. Darn you. You don't remember that one? That's a fundamental Christian way to get around damn. You know, H-E-L-L. And we go around saying, darn you. Huh? When you're really saying, damn you. I don't give a heck. Look at these folks. Look at me. Slang words. Picked them up. And we justified them. This is a blasphemous language. This is a pagan language. That's right. That's why I marvel at God's taking this language to speak to the world. what a way to confuse him, huh? He don't speak right. You didn't hear him. Pastor Archer said, listen to him. If you can listen to him, you'll hear him. You'll hear what he's saying. Are you folks listening to him? If you hear what I'm saying, you'll know what I'm talking about. Talking about iniquity. That's one thing we're talking about. I'm going to stay with that one, too. I preached this morning about God not hearing us. I'll never forget when I first started to preach that. See, because the generation that I came up in, we kept saying God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. You never said that? And one day I says, anybody here prayed a prayer that God did answer? Anybody here? Well, that goes your little slogan right down the truth. See, we used to use that to make ourselves look good. He answered my prayer.